Well, good morning, Fort Alliance, Fort Sask, our extended digital fam. It's great to be with you and just so excited about the text we're coming to today. It is such a powerful and yet beautiful passage, and we're going to get to that right away here. I was out with the walk not too long ago with one of our grandma and grandpas in the fellowship, not too long ago. And while we were out walking, I received for me what was a very dear and treasured compliment. And even though it was kind of said in fun, it really, really blessed my soul. The particular grandma that I was walking with said, "You can't fool me. I know you're a big old softy." And it's true, I really am. I have probably an overly sensitive spirit at times. Ask Janelle, she'll vouch for that. I really do have a super big heart. And I know there are times when I put on this warrior spirit-like persona, which is there, and it is a part of who I am. But like, I also very much am a super tender, soft personality. And last week, as we began, you really got like the full-on warrior spirit Ken, if you will. And so, fittingly, I feel like today the sensitive lover part of Ken leads well into the text that we're heading into. Actually, what came to my mind is a book I read. Oh man, it must have been like 15 years ago now. And just so you know, like my short-term memory is really good. Like I remember details short-term quite well, but long-term, not so much. Like I'm one of those guys that can watch. If I've watched a movie a long time ago and you ask me if I've seen it, like I know I've seen it, but like I can't talk about the movie with you because I don't really remember what happened. Partially because I probably fell asleep. Whole nother story, but anyways, nonetheless, my long-term memory with stuff like that doesn't always like retain things, and so if I read a book 15 years ago and I can basically tell you the gist of the book, like something really, really landed, and that's the case with this book. It's called The Way of the Wild Heart, and it's by John Eldridge, and I know this is an oversimplification, but it really landed with my soul, and he talks in it about the five stages, if you will, of Christ-like manhood. And so he talks about the cowboy, and that's the part of us where we're like, yee-haw! And I saw pictures of one of the grandbabies this morning from someone that's here, and that's, you could see the yee-haw in the picture of the little guy. There's the warrior, where you learn to like have that spirit within you that discerns when is the appropriate time to speak up and stand up for something or fight for something. Then there's the lover, which I'm going to circle back to, where you learn to love and to be tender and to really embrace. Then there's the king, where you begin to rule and have leadership. And then there's the sage. And the biggest premise of the book that really hit me was that very few men ever hit sage. Somewhere along the line, they hit a hurdle in their life, and they're unwilling to be vulnerable and tender and overcome that hurdle. And so, unfortunately, very few men make it to sage. And I remember when I read that, I was like, I want to make it to sage. Anyways, circling back to lover, Janelle really brought this out in me. And I learned a whole new part of my being when I met Janelle. Let me tell you, I probably wrote her thousands of notes, just trying to find the words, you know, the teenage love letters that you just are striving to articulate these emotions, these feelings that are within you, and how do I get these out, right? In that time, I was also self-teaching myself how to play guitar. And I wrote her a song, a love song. And I sang it for her back in 1999. And within this song, I longed to like express how she made me feel, if you will, and just articulate that to her. And I thought to myself, wouldn't it be perfect to just sing this song for you guys today? There's people actually encouraging me to sing right now. But then I remembered the AHS guidelines, that there are to be no public singing performances, and the heart of what have you is that we're to not like publicly sing and corporately sing. And as a leadership team, we've been really trying to find the balance in gathering, but honoring AHS, if you will. But I wanted you to know, like, that lover part of my personality really is there. And so I thought, you know, to just show how tender I am, I thought I would sing for you guys this morning. And so because I can't do it here, I filmed it. I created a little video for you. My original love song for Janelle. So we're gonna take this away now. My first ever recorded song has officially hit the internet, all right? Maybe we should take out the video we're using earlier because we won't be able to get any of the funds from YouTube, hey? And when this thing hits millions, we could make some real dough for the church, hey? Take out that, you know, Life Church Oklahoma song. Anyways, I'm a softie, okay? I'm a tender-hearted guy. Anyways, I have a point to all this, I swear. We come to this transitional moment in the book of Ephesians. We're wrapping up the first half of the book, and Paul enters into prayer right now. But it's as if Paul, as he is writing, is embracing his inner teenage love song moment, where he is grasping for every possible word that he can find to try and explain the love of God. And yet even then, there's this reality that he is falling short, if you will. But he's giving everything he can to try and express this, the love of God. And so we're going to read it right now. And appropriately enough, we have the big old bassy baritone voice of Brother Glenn Pittman reading. Take it away, man. So you see what I mean? This passage is loaded. It is so, so powerful. And yet it is so, so beautiful as Paul strives to just put every word he can, you know, almost fathom, if you will, into describing the love of God. So it starts off, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. So when I think of all this, remember where we've come from. We're predominantly focusing on a united church, a church that is in Christ. And as we're brought together and walls of hostility have come down and we are fully built upon Jesus and we are in Jesus and we are for Jesus, there's this understanding that now we share equally in the inheritance, and this is setting the tone for Paul's. He says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees. Verse 16, I pray from his glorious, unlimited resources. This word glorious is a word that, as I looked into that, there were so many other descriptives that could be used here and used appropriately. Some of the words that describe glorious are honor, splendid, light, perfection, reward, bright, shining. When I think of his glorious unlimited resources. This word, unlimited resources, in some of your translation, is translated riches. And the key here is understanding that this is from the abundance of God's riches, that you cannot tap out God's resources. There's this idea that it is eternally and continuously abundant in its availability. In that reality, I pray from His glorious, unlimited resources that He will empower you with inner strength. This word empower is one of my favorite words in the New Testament. It's the Greek word dunamis, which I've spoken of before. That's where we get our word dynamite from, that we would understand His boom as power that is for us. And it is purposed for this inner strength to be settled within us. This word, inner strength, it speaks to both being strong and growing in strength. As you study this word and you break down this word in its original language, you understand that we're talking about this psychological capacity to just be certain of where we're at with God. And this is all done through the Spirit. And we've talked about the Spirit lots as we've gone through Ephesians, and we're going to continue with that when we get into the second half, because we realize that no Spirit, no power. And the Spirit is so critical for Jesus' church. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts. This phrase, Christ will make His home in your heart, or then Christ will make His home in your heart. It is actually that one word. So the words "then will make His home" in its original language, those combination of English words are actually only one word in the original language. Now check this out, what this one word is trying to describe for us. It is describing the dwelling place or a established residence, or someone that has settled in manner. It's to live. It's to reside. What's trying to be communicated here is that we are to understand that Christ has settled in, dwells, resides in us. The living God. He's with you. He's in you. And He is in us, a united church. As you trust Him, that your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Now, when you study this in its original text, okay, the word love actually comes at the end. So it actually more accurately would read, your roots will grow down and keep you strong in God's love. So I want to go at this little phrase in that order, that your roots will grow down. This is an agricultural word. It really is trying to bring us to this place where we understand that we are growing, and yet our roots are what's to keep us established and grounded. God wants to ground us and root us deeply into who He is. To keep you strong literally is an architectural word. Now, I'm no engineer, but I know enough to know that the foundation of any structure is critical. And this is what He's wanting to get at, that our roots, that we are growing, but that we are also founded, established, that there's this strength that comes for being united in Christ, and it's all for the purpose to move us to the place where we know God's love. This word love, and many of you will recognize it, it's the Greek word agape. You'll know His love, His full, His complete, His perfect love. There's no stronger word for love that you could use than this word right here. Christ would settle into our hearts, that'd be rooted, that would be founded on God's love. One of the dictionaries that I was reading as I was studying this used this phrase and pulled it out of Jude, which is a Super fascinating read, by the way. That's a total side note. It speaks of this word, though, as though it's a love feast. I love that phrase, a love feast. As a man of food and who loves a good meal, that word picture landed for me. Love feast. It's like the table's been set and I can keep coming back. And it never runs out, right? The love feast. And so, that you will roots will grow down into God's love, keep you strong, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. I mean, Paul really wants us to get the love of God here. He really wants us to settle in and know that this is a love that is for us. How wide? I mean, just think about that. I can't help but think of the passage that speaks of God's forgiveness and his grace, that he's removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. And the thing about east and west, doesn't matter how long you go east, you never get to west, right? How wide is God's love? How long is God's love? I mean, if we've established it this way, it's also forever that way. You know, this text, it reminds me of coming on the heels of St. Patrick, the Lorica of St. Patrick, where it talks about Christ all around me, Christ beside, Christ before. How wide, how long. That's going to come even more alive in these next words. How high. I mean, this word high is used in other places in the scriptures to speak of the highest heaven. God's love is so high, it reaches to the highest heaven. How deep is his love? I mean, this word has so many meanings and potential implications. It could be speaking of a deep cavern on earth. It could be speaking of the deepest place in the ocean. How deep. But it's also used in Scripture to describe places of utter lowness or darkness. Some people think this is suggesting the humility of Christ and going to the cross, to the darkest moment in all human history. It's also used to describe the dark powers. As you study theology, you see this idea of Jesus descending to hell even. How high? How deep? May you experience... Sorry, I'm going to go back. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is way too great to understand. May you experience, some of your translations say no, may you experience or know the love of Christ. It's calling us into this place of greater understanding, and yet... it is too great to ever even understand. A number of you on the heels of our Holy Spirit encounter have or are reading the book by Doug Balser called The Empowerment Pivot. And within there, he talks about there's always more of Jesus. I think this verse so perfectly speaks to that. There's always more of Jesus. Oh, may we experience and know the love of Christ, even though it is far too great to understand it. There's always more. God, Jesus, longs to take us into this place where there's more of his love. I mean, I was being silly, but really, like the teenage love song never ends. We can never begin to describe and understand and grasp this love of God. Then you will be made complete with all fullness of life and the power that comes from God. As you step further into this love of God, then you become complete. Then you understand the fullness. Now, I realize we never figure this out fully, this side of heaven. And all along the way, I've talked about as we journey into knowing Jesus and hearing his voice and understanding more of the Holy Spirit, I've said how I believe everything this book says about that, and yet I'm still not sure how to get there. And I stand by that, and yet this is something that I feel is oh so real in my life. I really am at this place where Jesus in new and in fresh ways is continuously just settling in with me and giving me a glimpse of the more. And he wants that for all of us, his church. He wants that for us here. He wants that for you at home. And so today in a text that one can never fully explain or begin to understand. In fact, just being honest, on average, when I prep for these, I have maybe 6 or 7 pages of notes from my study. I had 15 pages of notes from this passage, and I could have kept going. That's how immense it is. I felt like even in the midst of that, the only thing that I could possibly do is get us to go right to Jesus as fast as we can. To begin to understand and get a fresh glimpse of his love. And so today, I want to take us to a posture of prayer. Paul starts by saying, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father. I think how appropriate would it be for us today to just fall to our knees and pray. Now, I know here right now, and some of you at home, you physically, it's not in your wheelhouse to kneel, and that's okay. But for those who it is, for those of you here right now who it's within your wheelhouse to kneel, and physically that's something you can do, I want to invite you to join me in kneeling. For you at home, wherever you are, I invite you to kneel. If you're out walking and doing this, find the next park bench. Right now, wherever you are, I dare you to move into this posture. And let's just take some time to go to Jesus, the one whose love we are invited to fully know and yet can never fully grasp. So would you join me in kneeling and coming to him? Lord Jesus, not only are you the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Holy, Holy, Holy One, you've also said that we are your friends through faith. And so both knowing the tension of you as the living God and the one who is our friends, our friend, we humbly bow and present ourselves before you with an opportunity to just come into your presence. So many times in these first 3 chapters, we have heard of how you have drawn us into the throne room. And so here we are together, humbly in your presence. We know there's never a means for us to fully know your love, and yet here we are longing to know what that love is like today. And so, Jesus, we surrender our hearts, our souls, our mind, our strength. And we picture ourselves drawing before you, coming before you. And Jesus, as we picture ourselves before you, We pray that for each one of us, you might be the good shepherd that speaks and that we hear what we need to hear today to know your love. Jesus, for us who maybe need to hit pause in this moment, we do give you the freedom to do just that. But in this time and space now, we hear your heart. We know your love over your people today. I hear you speaking things like, you can make it. You can do it. Allow me to pick you up and carry you. Be brave. Press on. You're with us. And your love is holding us firmly in place. And in this season where so many are hurting and alone, we thank you that you will never leave or forsake. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus, through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.